Back together again, you and I chatting it up Wednesday style, June the 24th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I open the show looking at the previous night's Democratic primary results in New York City for maybe any clues into what's next for Connecticut and National Democrats as well. And of course, Hearst Connecticut Media's Dan Hart dropped by for his weekly update on all the big stories and to laugh at me about what I think is ahead for Democrats or not. All righty then, Connecticut Dems, the ball is in your court. Pickleball court, tennis court, whatever, basketball court, whatever you'd like. Did you notice what happened? And I start with this because New York City ain't too far away from us. And this is what people are talking about a lot today. And it's maybe already reverberating into our own race here for governor between, at least on the Democratic side, the incumbent Democrat Ned Lamont and his challenger State Rep Josh Elliott of Hamden. Did you see what happened in New York City last night? Did you see, huh? Far progressive, far left, and you can be left and right and progressive and conservative. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, but Mamdani back candidates won two big U.S. House primaries, and in the way of doing that, they ousted a couple of longtime incumbents there. So, you know what I think happened last night, and we can get into this today. It's our lead topic. Question of the day is based on this at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Huh? All right, you got that? Got all that down? This is no longer a fluke. Zohran Mamdani is leading a change nationwide of the once great high and mighty kind of centrist Democratic Party. And again, I'm not saying things don't change. Look at what's happened to the Republican Party in the last 10, 11, 12 years. In the days pre-Trump, PT, pre-Trump, and now in the days in the middle of Trump 2.0 after his third run here. Zohran Mamdani's political influence, as here at Fox News, tested Tuesday in several closely watched House primaries, and his endorsed candidates delivered some major wins. Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier defeated a U.S. Representative Adriano Espaillat, who was serving his fifth term, and he heads the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He's gone. Former New York City Comptroller Brad Lander defeated U.S. Congressman Dan Goldman, two-time incumbent. We talked about the Goldman thing yesterday. Hey, you support Israel, get out. Claire Valdez, a state assembly member and a Mamdani ally, also won her Democratic primary in the race to succeed the retiring U.S. Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez. So you see what we're witnessing here. Everybody is laughing at MAGA, 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 MAGA. All right, you can laugh at that. That's fine. I'm not saying you can or you can't. But do you see what is going on now in the Democratic Party? Now, Connecticut Democrats are looking at this same thing, too. You've got a lot of older Democrats retiring in Hartford. We're waving goodbye to Martin Looney and to Mary Mushinsky and a few other people. Thank you for your service, Marty and Mary. We appreciate that. But who is coming up behind them? Now, it's not always somebody uber on the left, but man, we are witnessing kind of a, and I would say it's slow motion. But you know what? As New York goes a lot of times, so goes the country. And, you know, so goes the party that we're involved with here. So, and again, the frightening thing here to me and to a lot of people, you've got a decided, I mean, they don't even hide it anymore. You've got a decided anti-Israel bias here. And it doesn't mean, again, let me lay this right out in front. This does not mean that you can't criticize Israel or criticize the IDF. I'm not saying that at all. Criticize away. Have a blast. But notice how some of these people that won last night and are very visible under Zohran Mamdani either don't answer the question or are squeamish to answer the question as to whether or not Israel should even exist. Yeah, I'm not making it up. Look it up. some of these people? You get reporters and bystanders asking them, do you think Israel should exist? Has the right to exist? Never mind the government there. Never mind whether it's apartheid. Never mind whether it's, you know, anything resembling, the genocide. That's a favorite word they like to toss around here. But just the fact that should the country be able to exist? And they either say no, many of them, or they don't say anything. Wow. This is now the party. And I know it's the Democratic Socialists of America, but they run under the Democratic banner. So now this is the party of FDR. This is the party of Harry Truman. This is the party of JFK. This is the party of LBJ. This is the party of Jimmy Carter. God rest his soul. We waved goodbye to him only several months ago. I mean, come on, right? So I want to hear from progressive. Now, I want to hear from everybody, obviously. But I'd love to hear from progressives today, particularly at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. We'll start off with a few segments here of a therapy session here. Are you scared? Are you looking at all this saying, oh, my God, this is because, you know what, folks? I don't know about the midterms coming up. But if this goes on and on and on another year and a half, 2 years, man, the Dems are going to hand, no matter what Ned Lamont says or Bob Duff says about, you know, how awful Donald Trump is, they're going to hand the Republicans another 4 years in the White House if you keep nominating and sending people to D.C. that only appeal to hard, hard, hard leftist, progressive, blue thinkers. Again, nothing wrong with that, but then you can't bitch and moan if you lose. So we start with this. Should Connecticut Democrats be worried about their party after Tuesday's New York City primary results, huh?
Well, Paul, it's only New York. It's not Connecticut.
Well, maybe, but NYC, baby. New York, a lot of times in culture, in music, in sports, in TV, in Broadway, and in politics, kind of sets the tone. And you could say, well, you know, Trump's going to kill the Republican Party. All right, maybe he will. I don't think so. But what about what we saw and we continue to see from these big cities all over the country talking down wealth, talking down Israel, talking down Jews, talking down, oh, they love to throw billionaires in Wall Street. Do they have anything else original? And I'm not saying that they don't have viable concerns about all these entities. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, are you handing 2028 to the Republicans again who say, hey, you may not like us, but hold your nose and vote for us because the other side is nuts. All right, traffic and weather together, news coming up, a whole lot more right here, WICC. And all you Connecticut Dems out there, you fine folks that call this station here when I'm on, when Lisa's on, when Melissa's on, when the weekend folks are on, Fred Ebert and all that, and Bill Finch and all our great programs. What do you think about what went down, what happened, what you saw in New York City last night? Again, so, you know, this is officially out of, hey, it's just Mom Donnie, the shine will wear off. No, 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 no. The shine will not wear off. In fact, the shine of Mr. Mom Donnie and his followers is not only not wearing off, it's getting buffed and polished. So is the traditional old Democratic Party done, over, see you later? Or as Herb Brooks used to say, their time is over. If you've seen Miracle like I have about 37 times, the locker room scene, check it out. But what are we looking at today? 203-333-9422, is the party of JFK done? In fact, JFK's grandson lost last night. So now he's not a Kennedy in name. He is Jack Schlossberg, the son of Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg, I believe. But, you know, that Kennedy thing was out there and about during the campaign, and it just doesn't matter. Camelot is over. The page has been turned. as his grandfather would have said, the torch has been passed to a new generation. So if you tend to be a progressive voter, if you tend to be a Democrat, are you excited by this, or are you worried that, oh boy, this is a little too far left here, and the Republicans in 2026 and 2028 are going to say, look at that, really? Look, we know you don't love us, but you're going to go for that? Really? Because let me tell you something, Mr. Mamdani is going to, his power is growing by the day, by the hour, by the minute, trust me. Carol Ann in Trumbull starts us off. Carol Ann, it's Paul on WICC. How are you?
Hi, good, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm good, Carol Ann. What's up?
Good. So I thought you were alluding to before whether or not Connecticut Democrats are going to absorb some of, you know, the Mamdani culture.
Yeah.
But I think we're very separate, and I'll just explain really quickly why. New York City is one of the most expensive cities in the world, right? It's there's Geneva, Zurich, Singapore, Hong Kong, all really high. Paris, all the cities are very, very high. And cities need a lot of different type of workers to keep it functioning, because it's, in my opinion, the greatest city in the world.
Sure.
And they can't afford to live there. They can't afford to eat, shop. So Mamdani is taking on a problem that I think is unique to really large cities. Yet, on the other hand, all of us want to go to see our doctor and be treated medically without going broke, right? And we want to have child care that doesn't make us work two jobs in order for the child to get taken care of. So the prices in our country need to come down somehow. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but that's what people are worried about. And I think instead of thinking of this as left or right, because all people are going to benefit from his free child care, it's 0 to 3, no matter what your income is.
Yeah.
You just have to be a New Yorker. So he's not discriminating. This is a program, you know, for the poor. This is a program for the people of New York that I am here to support. And I think it's going to be a fascinating kind of pilot plan. But just one last thing I'd love to ask your opinion.
Yeah.
I think that with Mamdani really like breaking out and so quickly, I feel like this is not a left-right thing in the Democratic Party or even Republics. I think now it's a top-down thing, because we are seeing the top echelon do very, very well. And I think we have to think of politics in more of that, like what's happening for the common ordinary worker.
Okay.
What do you think?
Carol Ann, thanks. I appreciate the call. A couple things here I want to point out there. I understand the cost situation here. I mean, believe me, my son lives in Queens. He lives in Astoria. And what he's got a very nice house, a lot of space, multi-levels, so he's not cramped for space there. He's in a relatively safe part of the city, very multicultural. He's in the Greek area of Astoria. Lots of no shortage of where to eat. Now, can he afford it? That's another. No, he does quite well. I'm very proud of him. The cost thing, yeah, I don't blame Mamdani for doing that, because he knew that's where he was going to get his rolls and bread and biscuits buttered in this. I think we all know that, right? I think we can safely assume, Carol Ann, that was the. That was the way to get a foot in the door. But what does distress me about Mr. Mamdani, and a lot of the people, if you read their past statements regarding Israel, regarding billionaires, it some of these statements, they go beyond criticism. And they, if not border, they take a big toe in the water and stick it into anti-Semitism, some soft anti-Semitism, some hatred. I'll get into that a little more right here on WICC. Of course, now we hand it this time of the week, every week, to Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. And Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir, and how are you?
I'm rolling up my sleeves.
Well, that's good. I like that. I like white shirt. What color sleeves are we rolling up today?
Right now, I'm wearing a gray T-shirt that said "Hartford has it." with the star. This was part of the whole Rising Star campaign years ago. It's an old faded T-shirt. So you can't roll up your sleeves on a T-shirt. But I was, of course, referring to our governor.
Yes. Now, yeah. So I saw that commercial and I went, okay. What were your thoughts on that, Dan Horan? Obviously, he was, I guess, told by some consultant to do that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the first thing you have to say is that it is an ad about his record.
Yeah.
And he's the incumbent, and you expect the incumbent to produce out of the chute an ad about his record. And what he's doing and what he wants to do, in contrast to what we talked about last week with Congressman John Larson's first ad, his ad essentially attacking his opponent, who's the challenger, which we found to be, as you know, highly unusual. So in that sense, it's an ordinary ad by Ned Lamont. What's a little ironic is that his opponents are saying, both opponents from the left and the right, as you know, their whole point is he doesn't do enough. And so his ad saying, I'm rolling up my sleeves and going to work, is perhaps a response to that criticism.
This fascinating. Oh, but before we go to the first congressional district, which I know you and I are fascinated with, I don't know whether you saw it, Connecticut Public reporting and a bunch of other outlets, that SEIU endorsement from the state community colleges today for Josh Elliott. Are the Lamont people sweating about this, Dan, yet or not?
I haven't talked to them. I talked to Lamont folks today, but not about that.
Yeah.
I did see the press release about the SEIU endorsement, not the news coverage. But what we can say is that this is a group that has been highly put upon by the administration, which has reorganized the community colleges. And so it's no surprise to me that they're endorsing the challenger to the governor. In addition, college professors, as you obviously know, because you probably were one, are a very liberal bunch. Of course, that doesn't include you.
No.
But all kidding aside, yes, the AAUP and the various public college unions tend to be pretty liberal. So that's not a surprise.
The gathering of the conservative professors at college, Dan Haar, could meet in a phone booth these days. But having said that, First District Congressional Ballot Update. I know you.
I'm just thinking of the name of the Association of Conservative Professors. I don't know what it'll be, but keep going.
That guy and that guy. That's what it would be.
Yes.
Ballot position, which you have emphasized over the years, is important. This one in this fascinating First District race. What do you have for us on that?
Well, Ruth Fortune, the young-ish, not too young to run, but she's the under 40, never has won an election, was appointed to the Hartford Board of Education, has now succeeded in getting the signatures, and she's on the ballot. That was announced yesterday or the day before. And that's a great seat for her. That's no small thing.
Yeah.
Many people have failed, including this year, to get signatures, to get on a ballot. And she did it. I spoke with her about it today, as a matter of fact. And she did it very, very much using her brain and not just going out there mindlessly with volunteers and paid staffers. She figured out where there were going to be registered Democrats. She went there and she got more than 5,000 signatures. And good for her for that. Now, she gets, I believe, the second position on the row B because she's an F and Jillian Gilchrist is a G and Larson is an L. So if you go in alphabetical order, which I believe is state law, it is Ruth Fortune who is on the ballot line B with Josh Elliott, and in her district, in her local Senate district, that'll be with Doug McCrory. But mainly with Josh Elliott. So is that good for her? I think it might be. I don't know.
Yeah. That to me, Dan, that is fascinating that the alphabet, you know, the alphabetical order means stuff, but I guess it does.
Larson is on row D.
Yeah.
And which is, aside from everything else, it's a little of an ignominious distinction, I guess you could call it. It's, it, you know, You don't want, if you're the 30-year incumbent, 28-year incumbent, you don't generally want to run from row D.
No, no, no. One would hope that people would have enough of an attention span to go down two or three rows if you are John Larson, of course, at this every week, Dan Horowitz, Connecticut Media. Yes?
It's just one of the rules of politics, rule of thumb in politics. If you're a 28-year incumbent, you don't want to run on row D.
Yeah.
That's always, we learned that in politics school.
I guess ICE activity, the hat city of Danbury, and now are they going to be arrested? Who's going to arrest them? Come on and arrest me. Your co-worker there, Josh Eaton at Hearst, has a piece on that, correct?
Very interesting story that he has today about it is the first courthouse arrests on record, in courthouse arrests by ICE. And interestingly, the reverse of what you think would be happening is happening, where the state is saying, no problem, nothing to see here. They followed the law. They informed us and they told us what they were doing and they followed the law. And ICE is saying, nothing doing. We didn't follow your stupid ass law. We don't respect your law and we don't even know what it says, but we doubt we followed it. So it's a bit of a sort of reversal standoff where the state, as you said, and as we, I think, talked about last week, is the state going to arrest? Who's going to be the first person to fire a shot at Fort Sumter and arrest an ICE agent for wearing a mask in Connecticut?
Yeah.
Who's that state trooper?
Your descriptor made me smile because somewhere my dad is smiling down on us because stupid ass was one of his favorite phrases.
Oh, I thought he was a Fort Sumter.
No. Before we end up on this Connecticut singer, which is a great story to end up, Mom Donnie, you know, my lead for the show today and the theme of the whole show, Dan Hart, personally, I think, and it's maybe a little hyperbole from me, but that's what talk show hosts do. You know that. I think the modern day Democratic Party died last night, and I think Zoran Mamdani.
Oh, come on!
Modern day.
Will you stop? Come on!
Did you see the people that won in the Big Apple last night, where my son lives? Come on, jeez! No, you're not buying
it.
All
right, where do I begin? Okay, first of all, these are among the more liberal districts in the country to begin with.
Yeah.
Second of all, I think that same politics school where we learned the dictum about not running on row D doesn't also have a lesson that says, as goes New York, so goes the nation.
Yeah.
That's not one of our precepts in American politics, as goes New York. I don't notice that being the case. Right. I don't remember Mario Cuomo doing very well in 1984, and New York does not. Yes, Chuck Schumer in the Senate, absolutely, and big names, but not. Come on. Look, he has a lot of influence in New York, and he's wielding that influence. He's reaching his apogee as a first-term mayor, and things haven't gone wrong yet. And to say this is so goes the data. Come on, tell that to. So the constituents of Mark Kelly in Arizona and Fetterman in Pennsylvania, come on.
Okay, don't make me say I told you so. And we're going to finish up with a not political story. A Connecticut singer wins a jingle contest in New York. What's this?
Allegra Levy is a rising young jazz vocalist who lives in New York City with her husband and two young children. And she entered and won Mom Donnie's jingle contest to promote, get this, you may think he's a socialist for promoting this, but Lamont's doing the same thing, universal child care.
How about that?
Right?
Yeah.
New York is a little ahead of Connecticut on it, and they have a jingle. And she won the jingle contest.
Nice.
She's from West Hartford, the great West Hartford music program where my daughter went through and is now a music teacher herself and a singer. And Allegra Levy is a very talented musician who entered, and she took very seriously the entry. And by the way, this was judged by Lin-Manuel Miranda and Cardi B, the rapper. So this is no jive contest.
Right. Oh, I like that. No jive content. Very nice.
All right, Dan, I stick by my guns here. Excuse the expression here in Connecticut. Yes, the Democratic Party has died. But no, that's okay.
Oh, for crying out loud. Next week, we're going to have Fetterman on the show.
Okay. Dan Harr, Hearst Connecticut Media. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it, my friend.
See you later.
All right, there you go. Wow, Dan Harr's not buying my assertion that the Democratic Party is a smoldering pile of maybe not.